3 weeks down, and the NFL season's just heating up. This is the Push-Off. Everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Push-Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend and gets you ready for the next. I am your host, Scott Hogan, sitting across from this table from me, as always.
Dan, throwing kids out them window, right.
Dan, we got ourselves just another big full slate of games we got to get through here.
God, there are a full 16 games this week. Yep. Next week, we get a small break.
We get one less game as two teams with a bye week. But yeah, the bye weeks are finally here for week four. But we got to just push
right
through.
These were some great ones this week, too. There's a lot of good games.
Felt like the offense finally woke up.
True, yeah.
I you look at your fantasy league scores here, you're like, oh, some people blew up.
Yeah, we're doing okay. I actually won everything this week, which is so rare for me to win two fantasy leagues and the Cowboys.
Oh, don't but jinx I'll take yourself.
It. Yeah. I'll take it.
All right, so there's so much to get through in the games, so we're going to push right through. But the first thing we need to talk about real quick, Antonio Brown. He was cut by the Patriots.
I forgot that was after the, like, how much shit?
Yeah, heading into, it was like Saturday or whatever it happened. He hits Twitter Sunday morning and attacks critics like Shannon Sharp, Big Ben Roethlisberger still, Robert Kraft even. He signed up for classes at Central Michigan this week.
Go Chippewas.
Gonna go back to school. But the big news, I think, is he's saying he's done with the NFL, which means we don't have to talk about him anymore.
God, is this the end of Rico? Is this the end of fucking Antonio Brown, one of the greatest wide receivers of this generation, who went completely insane?
That the first thing you said is something that I think needs to be said. He was one of the greatest wide receivers of our generation. When we started this podcast up through last year, we talked about how exciting it was to watch him.
Yeah.
How close he was. He was the closest anyone was going to get to, like, Jerry Rice numbers.
He was a guy that, prime. Had he played until he was 42 and maintained even a standard declination of a Jerry Rice career,
right,
would have been touching Jerry Rice numbers. That's insane.
Yeah.
Even in this wide-open passing league, there's nobody like that. There's nobody even on pace for that shit.
But he showed us all that even when you are that good, when your talent is that high, you can have other things get in the way and squander it.
Can't have that crazy. Can't have that crazy sneak up. Crazy is one of those things that you just can't have in your life. If you're crazy, and I'm not saying that in like a pejorative, like if you are like someone that has delusions of grandeur and someone who is constantly anxious and constantly like, you know, thinking people are out to get them, you know, people like me and you, Scott. Yeah. If you're someone like that,
to get us.
Yeah, they are. They always have been. If you have something like that, go see somebody. Go get some help. Okay. Because it's not a medical term, but you're fucking crazy.
Are you talking to me directly?
No, not you.
It feels like you are.
But
who's that?
Okay, we're okay. Shit like that going on in your life, you're crazy. If you've got someone in your life that is crazy, you got to cut that shit out.
Or find them help, you know, if you really love them, see what you can.
Sure, but you got to get them help from a fucking distance, bro. Yeah. You got to get them help from distance. I'm not talking about like a little anxiety, like I don't like going to parties. Yeah. That's fucking fine. I'm talking about like I can't leave the house because my shoelaces weren't tied like 14 times. Like OCD, hardcore shit. Mm. If you got that in your life or you've got crazy shit in your life, you got to get distance because it will bring the whole thing down.
Yeah.
It brought the whole thing down on Antonio Brown and all of his friends.
So, unfortunately, I don't know what the New England Patriots are going to do for success this year.
I know. I wonder. I worry for them.
Poor team. They're out of big-time wide receiver there.
they'll just have to go back to one of their other big-time wide receivers.
Ah, shucks. Well, here we are. Okay, so that bit of news is over and done with. The rest of it we will get to with the games because is what made up the news this week, and that's great.
And Antonio Brown did that shit. Antonio Brown totally did that shit.
Oh, we're talking about the allegations.
Oh, he absolutely fucking did. We have to touch on it a little bit. He totally did that shit.
I think if anything, when you hear that there's sexual assaulted allegations out there, you take them seriously and you investigate. And that's what the NFL's doing, and I appreciate that.
And he absolutely fucking did that shit. Because he's out of his fucking mind.
Yeah. I mean, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
Probably a duck.
Probably a duck.
Probably probably threw shit off a balcony in Miami and sexually assaulted a friend of his because he's a fucking lunatic.
All that duck stuff. Anyways.
Cut him out, yo.
All right, let's get into it. Picks heading into week three. I was at 19, Dan. You were right there at 17. Mom led the track again at 21. Let's see where we are when we wrap up week three.
Felt so good going into this week.
Yeah, and now game of the week. The game of the week for week three. Which one did we choose? Which one?
So many good ones. There's so many legitimately great games.
Dan might not be happy about this one. It is the New York Giants beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 32-31.
I got no hatred for this for a very simple reason. Mm. Daniel Jones was my number one ranked quarterback coming into this season. As everybody else was shitting on him, I was like, hey, I gave him a mid-first round grade. I thought you took him a little bit high, but whatever. As everybody else was shitting on the Daniel Jones thing, who was standing on the bulwark saying, I think the guy might actually be a pretty good QB?
Yeah.
Right over here, guys. Tune into the Push Off Podcast. We scout like a motherfucker.
Okay, so Daniel Jones gets his first start in this game. First of all, neither of us picked the Giants to win this.
We were
all expecting the Buccaneers to take care of business at home.
We forgot the Jameis going Jameis.
Yeah.
And Jameis going Jameis all day.
Now, Jameis threw 380 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. So he didn't do as awful as he would to lose this game. Really, it was the kicker.
But it was also a critical interception.
Yes.
His interception was bone-crunchingly fucking stupid.
No, this is a team. They jumped up so far ahead. They were up by 18 in this game. This is the biggest comeback the New York Giants have had in 50 years.
It's insane. Like, this game was... This was headed to the two-minute no offense.
Yeah.
Absolutely on a fucking train straight there. And these guys went bananas.
We're watching Evans be unstoppable against Janoris Jenkins in that field. He went up for 190 yards and three touchdowns. Even at the end of the game, he was still dominating him. And they never, Giants never decided to go swing some help over there, put a guy over top. It was, Jenkins, you got this tall mammoth of a wide receiver. Good
Give
luck.
Give it a go, Jackrabbit, even though you're shorter than me.
All game long, and it never worked out, but the Giants then decided, all right, fine, we'll do a shootout. Oh, did we just lose Saquon Barkley to a high ankle sprain? He comes out onto the field in crutches in a walking boot. If I'm a Giants player, that's reason enough to pack it up and go home.
Yeah, I'm throwing my shit in my bag. I'm going into the locker room. They're like, it's the third quarter. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Did you see Saquon?
Yeah.
Let's get out of here, man.
What weapons do you have? Now, Daniel Jones found them. Daniel Jones found Ingram for 113, Shepard for 100, both of them had a touchdown. He had 336 yards passing, two touchdowns, and two ran in on top of that for his first day of work.
The rushing touchdowns were, to me, a sign of film.
Mm.
That's the sign of a guy watching film because you could see in the pocket, he's like, oh, I have a lane here.
They're giving me man coverage.
He's like, they're giving me man coverage. I know I've got a lane here. I'm just going to fucking go.
Yeah.
He's got more wiggle than people give him credit for. He's also a young man.
If you watched him in college, he was not a guy you expected to just take off and start picking up first downs.
Yeah, not sprinter speed.
No.
But I think it's going to be one. Nobody's going to like leave a spy on Daniel Jones, but it's just going to be one of those extra things now that the safeties kind of have to keep an eye out for, which makes their job that much harder. So good for Daniel Jones. Great to get this game on film.
Right.
Struggled in the first half.
You sure?
Really got his feet set, really started making great decisions, started getting the ball out of his hands quickly. When this game became a no-huddle situation, when he really had to speed up the offense, he looked at his best.
Yeah.
When he was kind of going through the script, you could see some limitations in his athleticism, some limitations in his arm. When it was just about get the ball out, make a read, make a decision, get the ball out there, he looked fantastic.
I want to say they made it like 25-28 or 25-31 there late in the game, and it felt like, God, you know, Giants get the ball back here. They're in this pattern now where they're going to probably move the ball, and they did, and that last drive looked great. Jones all the way down the field. They get that touchdown with seconds left. I think it was just under a minute or something. A couple passes, and they chuck it deep down the field to Evans again. And it's an easy kick. They take a delay of game. The Kangle takes a delay of game. He says that's, because it's an easier kick further away for this new kicker. And instead, misses it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Just a rough ending for the Buccaneers, who probably should have won this one. But Buccaneers be Buccaneers and choke it away. Their defense did come to play. The Bucs' defense is kind of a surprise right now.
Yes, they're not bad.
Five sacks. Four of them for Shaq Barrett, and he is a big reason, huge reason, why they are doing so well. Was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week last week.
Probably not going to be too far off this week.
Probably again, as he had 4 sacks in this one, and he is the quickest player to ever reach 8 sacks in a season. He does it in 3 weeks.
I mean, that's a ton of fucking sacks, guys. That's a ton of fucking sacks.
No kidding. So the Buccaneers lose another one here. They go 1-2, and the Giants are 1-2 now, too.
Yep.
With Daniel Jones at the helm, you getting worried about these Giants?
No, not really.
All right.
that Giants defense is still really bad.
Yes.
That Giants defense still absolutely let a team like the Buccaneers score 31 points on them by making no adjustments or changes.
No. Nope.
And that is now a team that is without Saquon for probably a little while.
Yes.
And when he gets back, if you're far enough out of the race, I'm bubble wrapping Saquon.
Mm.
I'm not going to be like, you know what, Saquon, on a bum leg, why don't you go out there and see if we can get to 4-12?
Yeah, that Gibby ankle, come on, we need your help now.
Come on, buddy, we don't want to be a top 4 pick, we want to be a top 5 pick.
They're saying the high ankle sprain would be 4 to 8 weeks, and they're also saying it's probably closer to 8. He might even get a surgery or something on it.
That's a bad, high ankle sprains are one of those weird things where it's like, could be 4 weeks, could be 9 weeks, could be the rest of the year, who fucking knows, depending on if there's any bone issues.
Scary thing, and you hope he's back, and you hope he's 100% back, because he's so exciting to watch.
I want Saquon toiling away, putting up crazy-ass runs on a Giants team that sucks. I don't want an injured Saquon on the sidelines while Daniel Jones brings them back to mediocrity.
Mm.
That's not what I want. If that's what I have to get, fine, I'll deal with it, as long as they're not challenging the Cowboys.
There you go. All right, no, a very exciting game to start, but as we move on, let's continue with some other great games in Week 3. I want to talk about the Sunday night tilt of the L.A. Rams into Cleveland. They beat the Browns 20-13. I did take the Rams in this one myself.
You did. I think the Cleveland hype train is fully derailed, Scott. What do you think?
The problem is being Baker Mayfield and his gunslinger attitude is getting him into some trouble here. He had a touchdown and another interception. Since starting, he has 19 interceptions, which is the most in the league he's took over last year.
I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little contradictory. I don't mean to contradict myself, but I had Daniel Jones ranked pretty high. I had Baker Mayfield ranked in the second round. And everybody last year was like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We're kind of seeing some of Baker Mayfield's limitations this year so far.
Yeah, this year, now that there's tape on him, you're right. They seem to figure it out. Okay, well, he's a short guy who needs to see the field, likes to chuck it deep. If we put enough safeties back there, can't help himself. He still wants to throw it deep.
Yeah, he can't help it.
This home run ball stuff they're playing, and I wouldn't put it all on Mayfield. I'm not excited about the coaching staff and their play calls right now.
You know who I will not put this on? Nick Chubb, who runs like a motherfucking hammer.
He had 131 total yards in this game. Yeah, Nick Chubb.
My second ranked running back last year behind Saquon Barkley. Guys, listen to the scouting shows. That's what I'm telling you. They're really good.
The Rams, though, did not play a clean game. Goff 2 touchdowns, but had 2 interceptions. One of them wasn't his fault. The second one very much was. It was a late interception that offered the Browns a way into this game to win it.
This was a sloppy game all around. The only difference was this was the first sack all year for our guy Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Even though he was wreaking havoc all day, Joel Bitonio is going to have fucking nightmares. Donald was in on him. Bitonio couldn't touch him. Mm-hmm. He was just like kind of moving right past him. You see Joel Bitonio being like, what the fuck just happened?
How am I supposed
to do
that?
I was right here. I had hands on you. What the fuck happened? And Joel Bitonio is one of the better guards in the league.
Yeah.
That's the separation between Aaron Donald and everybody else. It's insane.
The end of this game is something I want to talk about. The Browns get the ball to first and goal on the 4-yard line, and they seem to just do 4 straight spread offense. Nobody in the backfield, not even going to try to run it with all of their timeouts still.
Yeah.
They just played like a hero ball. I'm going to throw it in the end zone and hope one of my guys gets to it.
Which is insane because you're basically going, all right, it was basically empty set.
It was awful play call.
It was terrible play calling. It was like, all right, the hardest thing to do is throw into tight windows in the NFL, right?
Especially in the goal line when it's all short and like that, yeah.
Like the number one thing you want to do is you're like, all right, maybe we can get that corner off balance. Maybe mm-hmm. we can get him to turn his body in a weird way. You know where the corner's not turning his body in a weird way? In the end zone.
Straight up
and
down.
Where he's just like, all right, I guess I'll just hop laterally and close that gap. You have to find a way a little bit
mm-hmm.
to just get some fucking spacing. You've just got to do it. The Saints did a great job, not to jump into that game, but they did a great job of doing these like little picket screens.
Yeah.
was great. It was one of the first times I've seen them like run that successfully a couple times. There were no picket screens. There was nothing except for Baker's going to win this fucking game.
There was no real reason to try to get Chubb running the ball down there in between the tackles a little bit, get him closer even, do one of those bootlegs or anything like that. No, it was, yeah, Baker dropping back and thinking, maybe Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham can get open. These are elite wide receivers. Maybe they should be able to beat man coverage, but they were not.
They can beat man coverage if you've got 10 or more yards to play in.
Right.
You don't even have 10 yards to play in. They're not going to go to the back of the end zone. Baker Mayfield isn't going to be able to angle that shit in because he's so fucking short.
So they have the chance. They don't take care of the business here. And the Rams pull off another win and go to 3-0. And Browns just hanging in there at 1-2 now. Now the Browns had a tough schedule to start. I think that's something we said. It was like they could probably falter out of the gate. Plenty of time for them to figure this out, but if Freddie Kitchens and the team is, if this is what they're going to put on the field, it's not that exciting to
watch.
How
are you
now
feeling if you're in Cleveland? Like, you can't feel real good. You feel like, oh, we're kind of overmatched by coaching here.
There was a lot of booing on a fourth down after like nothing happened late in the game, and they're giving the ball back with like 4 minutes left. They still had the chance. Turns out that it wasn't enough to bury them, but they still end up short.
And I'll tell you what, they have had, I believe it's more penalties than any other team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Any other team in the NFL. That's coaching.
Now, there was a penalty on him where Goff scrambles and runs forward and dives forward, and the guy hits him in the back, and they throw a roughing the passer throw. And I was like, no, he's a runner, and he did not slide.
I know.
How does he get that call?
That was pretty horseshit. But they're all, it's one of those things, like, if they think you're trying to tune a guy up, like tune up a quarterback, that's what they absolutely don't fucking
probably
want.
Could have ran over there and touched him on the thing, but if it was a running back, tight end, any other player, they'd be like, all right, let's keep playing.
Jared Goff did not look impressive in this game. Jared Goff hasn't looked impressive all year.
Cooks were getting going for him, and Cooper being back is another weapon
helpful
for him.
Yeah.
So he's got a plenty of weapons where I think the Goff not blowing everybody out thing can be smoothed over.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of running game, though, Rams. That didn't show up here.
Todd Gurley hasn't showed up all season.
He's had better than the end of last year, but I get what you're saying, Not the Todd Gurley we know from 2017.
Yeah, this is not MVP Todd Gurley. This is not, oh my God, stop the hammer in the backfield Todd Gurley. This is like, hey, he's a good running back. You know, might want to not give him space. It used to not matter. You put eight in a box, he's getting a fucking 4 yards. Now you put eight in the box, you're stopping Todd Gurley. That's the difference between, like, when you're an explosive elite player. Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley is now overpaid. It took 1 year.
So it hasn't really come up to bite him with an L just yet, though, L.A.
Not
so
yet.
They hold on to the 3-0, and we'll see how they do. But let's talk about them next week at home. They got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town.
You have to kind of think these Tampa Bay Buccaneers, after losing to these upstart New York Giants.
Yeah.
You can't feel real good. These are both teams that are not feeling real good about where they are 100%.
The Rams, who had enough success to kind of build a little bit of a home field there in L.A. now after a few years, I don't like Tampa's chances coming over there. No. I don't think Tampa fans will travel well to L.A.
The Tampa fans are like, what? I'm sorry, go somewhere other than a strip club on a Sunday? No, thank you, sir. I will be staying home in my bog in Tampa Bay.
So it sounds like we both think the Rams will take this one next
week. We are. I've been anti-Rams all year, but I think they're going to win this one.
Okay. And I've been anti-Buccaneers most of the season, and they surprised me with that Carolina game, but that's been it so far.
That's
except,
it.
Well, the Giants won.
That's it.
Just surprised me the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the undefeated matchup that was heading into Sunday. It didn't end in a tie, so not undefeated no more, but the Ravens 28, the Chiefs 33. Dan, you went on the limb here and taking those Ravens. They showed up. Wasn't enough to beat those red hot Chiefs.
And this is one of those things. This was not as close as the final score.
No, it wasn't. That's true, too.
Yeah. So while you're looking at this going like, well, the Baltimore Ravens stayed in there. Kansas City had them
the
whole game.
6-23 Chiefs at the halftime.
This thing was over. And then the Chiefs just kind of played not like a prevent defense, but they knew it was over and they were running out the clock.
What I didn't understand with the Ravens is they went in there seemingly going, we need every point imaginable because we're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to get a touchdown early. Forget Justin Tucker, even though it's a guaranteed point, we're going to go for two. First time it worked.
Sure.
Then it stopped working, and they kept doing this, and then they go for it on fourth down constantly on short yardage plays and things like that. It took like a decision from John Harbaugh of like, this is how we're going to play this game because we're in Kansas City, and I appreciate that, I think, from a fan's perspective of like, he's got a plan,
really
he's going for it.
Yeah.
But you have some of the best special teams in the league and a defense that's not too bad. Sometimes it's worth punting it. sometimes it's worth kicking the extra point and hoping to get that ball back. Because if they kick the extra points, they would have just been down two when they had the ball there at the end of the game.
I think to myself, this particular team kind of forgot their identity for this game. They wanted to play Chiefs football.
Yeah.
The Ravens are not the Chiefs. The Ravens are a team that has surprisingly come out and really throttled a couple people or put early scores
There's
up.
There's really no one playing like the Ravens right now.
But this is a team that's supposed to win games 24-17 at a maximum, 24-10, 17-8, 17-6. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to put up 40 points like the Chiefs. The Chiefs being at 33, they're like, yeah, that's about par for the course.
Yeah.
That's what we should be doing with the Kansas City Chiefs. You needed to hold them down. Mm-hmm. You needed to keep these Chiefs below 24 points. Once you get above that for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's over. Because the Ravens' offense is not built to do that. You have Hollywood Brown. Sure, he's a speedster. Sure, he's a guy that gets separation. But he gets separation, and he gets those deep balls with the threat of the run.
And they were able to run the ball. Ingram had 135 total yards from scrimmage. He had three touchdowns in this game. But they weren't afraid of him, though.
Yeah. A lot of those yards came from him gashing them because they're like, well, fuck it. We thought you were going to run. I guess we gave up 15 yards to Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, fuck us. It's still not going to help you. You need a quick strike offense, and they took it away.
Jackson had just a rushing touchdown in this game. It was an exciting one. He even broke the ankles of a Chiefs player in a play there.
He's so
great.
He just
stops and jumps and goes. So that stuff's exciting, but we've seen now it's not enough. It's not enough, at least to play the upper echelon of the AFC.
This doesn't make me think any less of the Baltimore Ravens, and it doesn't make me think any less of Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
It makes me think more of the Kansas City Chiefs. It makes me think that this team is ready, really, for all comers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter. It seems like anybody walks into Arrowhead, they're gonna get their fucking heads kicked in.
It's hard to pick against the Chiefs wherever they play right now, honestly.
Yeah, really. God, they're so impressive. Everything about Pat Mahomes, which I love, by the way, the Pat Mahomes, Take Me Home, Pat Mahomes. God, it was so great.
The Country Road song, Country Road, Take Me Home, Pat Mahomes, yeah.
It's real good. We might put it up on the site, but guys, it's the Kansas City Chiefs world out in the AFC West. Absolutely. It's when you look at these Chargers and you look at the way they're set up, the Chiefs feel like they've beat them in every single area. Every single step of the way, the Chiefs have an advantage.
It's impressive. I don't know how they're going to do. We'll get to the Chiefs game next week in a moment. But first, the Cleveland Browns go to Baltimore. They play the Ravens. This is a first big tilt of that AFC North and our DF. Where's this division going?
All Ravens, baby. Body more murderland.
Yeah.
It's going to, one more body in the one more body in the river, one more body in the bay.
That it's in Baltimore and the Ravens can get back to the way they play football. I think I got to go with the Ravens here then, too.
Baker getting dumped in the Chesapeake, baby. Getting dumped in the Chesapeake.
The Browns have a lot more things they need to figure out, and it's unfortunate this is a big game for them, and it's coming up a little too fast. I don't think they're ready in this offense and this new offense they have.
I don't think so either. I think this is a Ravens team. I don't think it's going to be a slobber knocker. I don't think it's going to be like the Ravens run them out of the gate. But this is still a division game, but I think the Ravens have the edge at home.
Yeah. I will go with the Ravens too. Let's then talk about the Detroit Lions and their surprise win in Philly.
Was it such a surprise?
Oh, Dan did take the Lions to win, and they did win, 27-24.
I have picked the Eagles correctly every week, I believe.
I don't know, so far go this back year. Because
I picked them to win last week. I picked them.
And you picked them to win week one against the Redskins.
Sorry, I picked
them
to lose last week, and I picked them to lose this week, and I picked them to win against the Redskins.
And who did they play last week that they lost to? Oh, the Falcons in Atlanta?
Yeah, I picked the Falcons to beat them. I picked this because I do not like these Eagles. Talk about a team that's playing hero ball. They've got to go back to basics. They're putting Carson Wentz in really bad situations, and his wide receivers are not coming up with the ball.
Or they're not getting open. There was specifically a play, second and 12 in the third quarter, early in the third quarter, where the offensive line is blocking the Lions, and they stopped because they assumed Carson threw it. It's been 4 seconds. Like, the ball's out of his hands. He's still running around back there, and they all turn around and look and go, oh, shoot! And then Carson goes down or, like, flings a shitty pass away so he doesn't take the sack. Or whichever, but it was so hilarious because the offensive line just assumed the
pass was gone. We're doing everything we can.
Yeah. So it wasn't, I think some of it is Wentz trying to play hero ball himself, not getting rid of that ball fast.
Yeah.
He's always thinking that there's a guy that's going to come open down the field, or he's going to take off and dive head first in the end zone again. And like, he's forgotten that's how he got injured in the first place. Yeah. But again, on the other side of this, this was a Lions team that had plenty of chances just to take it away and kept going, no, you sure you don't want it, Eagles?
God, they do that. That's the worst.
That's the Lions. That's what we said. Now, the Lions are undefeated. They are 2-0-1 now because of this win.
It's the most Lions undefeated they will ever be.
But that's what's crazy about this is that they've started so strong in these games where, God, at home against the Chargers last weekend, even this one, it was like, you don't want to win it. I can tell.
You're just like, I guess we have to.
Yeah. Stafford just one touchdown. There wasn't much on offense here on that side. It was the Eagles just started real slow, and once they got going, they just didn't have enough to catch up. A lot of drives stalled for field goals on both sides of balls. Yep. What I saw in this game. I gotta talk about Miles Sanders. I think this was a coming out party for him.
I think so. Which surprised me a little bit. I thought Jordan Howard was going to be more productive. I know Howard had a touchdown and Sanders didn't, but Sanders looked good with the ball in his hands.
Oh, yeah, 126 total yards. He returned that kickoff where his whole head got turned backwards by a face mask called it. Tore the helmet off his head, no flag called. Came out, I saw a line that one of the referees that was close to that play, the one from the NFC Championship game. So I don't know if this guy just doesn't come to the games with the flag in his pocket. But
I guess not. He's like, oh, shit.
Where was it?
Hope nobody notices.
They're
not filming this, right?
The most egregious face mask call I've never seen called. So,
yeah,
that was a bad one. But
brutal.
Just a lot of drive stall. And then finally, the Lions are lining up for a field goal to pretty much salt this one away. The Eagles block it, take it all the way down the field. Oh, bad penalty brings them back to midfield again. But they still had the chance. And Wentz, you know, I think he throws the interception. No, not an interception, but oh, he threw the deep one to Arcega-Whiteside, who kind of dropped it.
Yeah.
A lot of drops in this one.
Well, the Arcega-Whiteside pass was tipped as well.
Yeah, and there was a Lion player barely in front of him.
Yeah. That was going to be a tough catch, but it's one of those things like, you got to come down with that. Like, that's a critical time. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. You can't let that shit happen to you.
And I think the Eagles get better with that with when they get Deshaun and Alshon Jeffrey back. Those guys can catch a little bit more regularly. Yeah,
exactly. Then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Once again, still an unexplainable pick. I don't understand.
Well, they needed him now, as obviously we can see with the injuries. True. But Aguilar was dropping some. He couldn't go to Ertz every play.
Yeah,
so
I know. He tried, though. He tried. He'll try.
That's the Eagles. All right, but let us talk about these Lions. I'm interested in where they're going to go from here. The Lions return home to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
God, are they going to win this? Inexplicably, and then somehow they're like going to try to give it back to the Kansas City Chiefs? I cannot take the Lions this week. I can't do it, not in good conscience, but they're so... The Lions fucking mystify me. Because this was a bad Matt Stafford game that they win. And he has games where he throws for 450 yards and they got nothing.
Right.
I don't get it.
I think what you're going to see is a Lions team that's ready to play early on. They'll be in this game, but when the Kansas City Chiefs decide to put their foot on the pedal, there won't be much pushback from Detroit.
I don't know any team that can really keep up with them except for the Patriots.
Right. I'm interested to see that matchup. I'm sure that's going to happen because they both won the division. When's that Chiefs-Patriots rematch coming up here later?
Doesn't it
year?
Feel like they both already won the division?
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
we're both.
It feels like, oh, yeah, you guys are in the playoffs. Like, sorry, you have to do the rest of the shit.
I mean, the Chargers have stumbled. There's nobody in the West that's going to catch the Chiefs here, I don't think. And then the East, their matchup for the Patriots is going to happen this week, which we'll get to.
Oh, God.
You'll be surprised. We'll see. But anyway,
I've been surprised by the Bills. I owe a few people apologies. Not because of Josh Allen particularly, but the Bills have surprised me again.
But we're not talking about the Bills and Patriots right now. It's Chiefs at Lions. You're taking Chiefs.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm taking Chiefs, too.
I wonder what the spread's going to be on this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's got to be at least 10 points.
I don't know. The Lions, I think, are going to get a little bit of credit, given that they've won their last two. I am very surprised, because I felt like the Lions need to be the seller in the NFC North, and if they're not, God, I don't know who's going to be. Sure hope it's not me.
Bears.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking. All right. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about another game that happened Sunday afternoon. The Denver Broncos lose to the Green Bay Packers. This is 16-27. Both took the Packers. I don't think the score necessarily explains this game, though.
No, once again, the Green Bay Packers were in control of this thing pretty early on. And this is a very good Green Bay defense now.
Yes, and the only, I think that's the reason why they got in control, is the defense had a couple of nice turnovers early on that gave them short fields. It was back and forth. It was 7-7. It was 10-10. And then the turnovers started to happen. Around 2 minutes left in the first half, a strip sack that rolls behind Flacco around the 10-yard line. An offensive player jumps on the ball. All extensive purposes, from the shot of the camera, it's like, all right, well, the Broncos got that back. The ball's still free. And somehow the Packers come up with it. 2 plays later, they're in the end zone with an Aaron Jones run. And it was like from that point on, and another turnover later, it was like, all right, well, now you can't catch the Packers because the Broncos want to run the ball. And
yeah.
Flacco's standing there, and this new pass rush by the Packers is going to eat that up.
Yeah. You know who is a component of that pass rush?
It's the Smiths. It's Preston Smith. And Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary with his first NFL sack. So Rashawn Gary hasn't impressed me as much as I thought he would, but it seems like he's starting to pick it up a little bit.
They're bringing him in.
Yeah, he's finding his place in this defense. He's not an every down player for them.
Right.
But think about that. He's not an every down player for them. Most other teams in the NFL, they're like, we got to get that Rashawn Gary kid the fuck in there.
I think he's going to ramp up later in the season. You'll see him more and more.
The Packers are like, oh, we'll use him in spots. Like, to have that luxury on this defense, like, we'll be able to use him in spots. That secondary is real deal.
Yeah, they're not bad either. But this was Preston Smith's game with 3 sacks. The defense themselves had 6. He had a forced fumble in this game, too. The game, from there, in the start of the second half, a strip fumbled from Fant that the Packers immediately pick up and run all the way back, and nobody else was ready for it because it didn't look like Fant was still up. And then they go and review, and it's like, yep, he was up by 2 inches. And it was a great fumble because they punch it through. That might have been the Preston Smith one. I got to go back and look, but once they get that touchdown, it's 24-10.
Play to the echo of the whistle.
Yes, that you're right, absolutely right. But I mean, that was, those two turnovers cost the Broncos this whole game. Because for once it was 24-10, it was so lopsided in the way the Packers wanted to play the game.
When you're down by 2 scores now against this Packers defense, that suddenly feels very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, if you were down by 14 points or 21 points of the Packers, you're like, not going to be an issue. I think we'll be able to catch up. 14 points now feels like a millstone just stuck around your neck, and you're not going to be able to do anything.
Which is important to know that, because the Packers, again, like I watched them in the game against the Vikings, they jumped fast. They had 2 nice drives, got them a touchdown and a field goal. Then it was short drives, and then they really did nothing else. Late in the game did they have a nice drive that got them in field goal range, and that was enough. But the only like early touchdown was Rodgers getting them offsides by a hard count snap, and then a free play where he gets to throw it down the field. Now, Chubb jumps offsides and was like, shoot, they got me. So he stops his pass rush, because Rodgers all the time the rule to go deep to Valdez Scantling.
Yeah, if you can do anything, if you know they already caught you for 5 yards, try to take his head off.
I guess you gotta.
You gotta.
Because this is how Rodgers plays that. And it's kind of annoying, but it's part of the game, and it's part of the idea of, like, if I can get you, that's on you, so I'm going to get a little extra here. So you
ain't cheating, you ain't trying. If you're not goosing it a little bit, you're not trying.
So anyways, but I can't take away another win for the Packers, as they go they're undefeated now, 3-0.
There is a liability, though. This Packers team has no running game to speak of. Aaron Jones looked good in spells.
He got in the end zone twice, but that's because he had short fields.
Yeah. Jamal Williams looked good in spells, but I don't feel like there's a bell cow running back. I don't feel like there's really a running game that I'm afraid of. This is a team that runs off the pass.
Yep.
And you just wonder when they get down a little bit, or when they really have to close out a game, are they going to be able to get it done?
They're also a team that has a lot of home games early in this season, which means a lot of road games later in the season, second half.
And if you're not running road games late in the season, it's going to get real hard on your quarterback, because he's going to be just taking hits.
That's right. Running games travel. The passing stuff and weather and inclement weather as we head on. Now they're in Green Bay, so they're not going to get out of inclement weather.
If anything,
weather.
That's good. You got your home games here, so you're not going to face as much inclement weather on
that's
the back
right.
end.
That's right. So we'll see how they do. But you're right. They're a much interesting team. They're 3-0. I'm not rewarding them even this division yet, though.
No, we can't.
There's so much in that. So, yeah, Packers got to keep winning. But
just a half-game lead in the division.
That's right, over the Detroit Lions. They take care of business here against the Broncos. We expect them to do that. They get the first game this week at home against the Eagles. It is Thursday night football. Eagles-Packers, what do we think?
You know I'm going for the Packers. The Packers are featuring everything that I like. Aaron Rodgers, who I don't necessarily love the guy personally, but God, what a technician. Rashawn Gary. And Rashawn Gary getting a chance to pop off a little bit at Carson Wentz. God, could it be any better?
You and me be watching this Thursday night game going for the entirely separate teams for the same reason.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, the Packers.
Give me that three-game lead in the division.
Right. Packers at home on a short week. The Eagles on the road a short week, banged up as hell as they are. It is hard to pick the Eagles in this one, even though they need it so much more. Yeah. This seemed like a really exciting game on paper to start the season. Now it seems a little bit more weighted towards the Packers than it could be, than it needed to be. So I'll take the Packers here too, but God damn it, fly Eagles fly this weekend.
Oh, don't you speak that evil in my home.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about one more game before the break. The Thursday night game of last week.
Pretty fun.
That was fun. The Titans and the Jaguars. Titans 7, Jaguars 20. I took the Titans. Dan, you took the Jaguars, but do you know who else did?
My ma
took the Jags, too.
I'm 2-1 on Thursday night so far this year. You're 0-3.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
So, hey, maybe I'll be wrong again. Let's hope so. Yeah, go Eagles.
I don't want to be 2-2. So, I watched this game, and I was struck by two things. One, Jalen Ramsey is a fucking professional.
Oh, yeah.
And he went out there and played one hell of a game. I don't know if it was to try to boost his own stock, but God, that guy was all over the field.
If nothing else, he was hugging his teammates. He was excited to play with them. I don't think he cares for the coaching staff here.
I don't think he cares for Tom Coughlin.
Maybe it's Coughlin.
That's the
straight
rumors
up.
I'm hearing out is that
it's
Coughlin,
not Marone. It's not the
that
fight
Marone,
with Marone
is just his coach, and okay. Like you know, Doug Marone's just Doug Marone. Who the fuck has any opinions about Doug Marone?
Yeah.
But that Coughlin apparently was disrespectful to him because Tom Coughlin is an old crypt keeper man who is, you know, wants to be a pseudo-military hard ass.
I couldn't only picture a conversation between Tom Coughlin and Jalen Ramsey and what they talk about.
I feel like they speak, I know they both speak English. I feel like they speak two completely different languages.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, not even the, what's your love language? Just like, are either one of you speaking like, like old, like if you
just
try to go
pleasantries. How are you today?
Yeah,
man, I'm this and this.
What
I'm
up, like, dude? Oh, fuck you.
We have no idea what each other said.
Do you know that they do in the Globe Theater in London? They do Shakespearean plays in the tongue of the time.
Ah,
and you can't understand it. It's still English. It never left the island. Like it's the same shit, but it just changed so much. That to me is Tom Coughlin and Jalen Ramsey, the old guard of the NFL, and the new best corner in the fucking NFL. And you just go, there is no mesh. There is only, it's female to female, man. There's no going in.
So that's what you got. You got that thing out of, you said there was two things. Was it just the Jalen Ramsey?
Jalen Ramsey and Gardner Minshew is fun as shit.
Gardner Minshew here threw two touchdowns. They jumped up ahead with that fumbled punt, basically. And from there, they got short field, and they didn't look back. They jumped up for one touchdown, then they jumped up two touchdowns. They did a great job here. It was 14-7, and then 20-7. Jaguars took care of business. Their defense played great. Mariota did throw for 304 yards, but he looked a little ragged out there.
He did. He looked a little shoddy. He looks like he's probably still dealing with injuries. I feel like he's never healthy.
I know, but also I'm starting to wonder too, and I'm hearing the rumors. There might be a little bit of angst going on in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
How long till they go, let's take a look at the backup, Ryan Tannehill?
There's a reason why Marcus Mariota doesn't have a fat extension.
Right.
Sitting on his desk at home waiting for him to sign. It's because they're not sure about him. If you get to a point where they're so not sure about you that they want to look at Ryan Tannehill, it's over.
He's got him to a couple of playoff bursts, and... But I mean, most of wild card stuff. Yeah. I mean, and against a division that just is kind of okay. And
yeah, it's wide open, really.
They took care of business there. You know, Watson gets hurt. They took care of business enough to get in there. Yeah, now you're seeing them lose to a Jaguars team that might be a seller here. They didn't have a back. They have a backup quarterback in, and they're watching him play great and then get interviewed all day long after
the
game.
Is he the backup?
You saying there's QB controversy in Jacksonville?
I asked a Jaguars fan. I actually know one that's not Pat.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him this weekend. And I said, say Gardner Minshew goes 3-2, Foles is out another 5 games. He's like, do you keep him in? He's like, no. I was like, all right. Say Foles is out 7 games, and he wins you 5. Do you keep him? He's like, yeah. It's that severe.
Yeah.
It's that severe where you're looking at this going, we got to go with the hot hand. You got to go with the hot hand.
Foles has done nothing for him yet, really. Yeah. I mean, he came in there half the game. He threw that nice pass to DJ Chark. DJ Chark got a nice touchdown from Minshew here. So yeah. It can happen.
He's got a pedigree,
mm-hmm.
But you know what? Kurt Warner didn't have a pedigree.
Right.
Kurt Warner came in and just tore shit up.
It's just nice now that after him getting thrown in there week one, here we're talking week three, and it already seems like the game slowed down a little bit from Minshew.
He's a smart dude. Out of Washington State, he played underneath Mike Leach, and they talked about this all the fucking time during the game.
Right.
Like, such a smart fucking guy. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We talked about a while ago the Manning force, that there is a force that exists in the world, and Peyton Manning was able to tap into it consciously, and Eli was able to tap into it unconsciously. I believe there is a dirty white boy force that exists out there for NFL quarterbacks, and Baker Mayfield tapped into it for a long time. I feel like Gardner Minshew is draining the dirty white boy force, and it's making Baker Mayfield look not quite as good.
There's a lot of talk about that where it's like Gardner Minshew is a Baker Mayfield with less on his plate that needs to be proven right away.
Exactly.
So it's just a matter of like, hey, the guy's throwing some touchdowns. I'm happy with him.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, this is a net positive. Gardner right. Minshew gives us anything, it's a positive. Baker Mayfield has the world, has the entire hopes of Cleveland on his shoulders.
Yeah, first overall pick, and that's the difference there. Jaguars in this game, their defense got 9 sacks, so they're still for real.
Still Saxonville.
Yeah.
We so can't forget.
As long as you don't put this team down so much that they have to just worry about stopping runs and stuff like that, you jump up ahead, good luck against this Jacksonville defense.
And who's been popping off, especially at the wide receiver position? DJ Chark.
Yeah. So you got some weapons on offense showing up here. Can the Jaguars keep it going? Next week they go to Denver to play those Broncos. Dan, I will be in this game live. I'm going to the Jaguars-Broncos game this weekend.
I will be picking the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
At home, as much as I enjoy Gardner Minshew, much as I think this Jags defense is really, really good, you're in Mile High, and it's a rookie quarterback. They're going to get him.
Mm.
It's a rookie quarterback against Vic fucking Fangio. Fangio's ready to go. Fangio is going to be dialing up all sorts of exotic blitzes that Minshew has not seen in college, has never seen on film. I can't wait.
They got to get the ball out of Minshew's hands fast. The other side of the ball, though, I mean, we just watched Jaguars get 9 sacks, and they're going up against the statue of Joe Flacco, who really doesn't have the time that he wants back there. So I think this is going to be a low-scoring defensive struggle game.
This is whichever team scores a touchdown first, I feel like the whole rest of the game is just keep away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to be very exciting, but I think you're going to see some fucking hits. I hope you're close to the field so you can hear some plastic rattle on plastic.
I am at the field, so don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take the Broncos at home here because Mile High, et cetera. But nothing. It wouldn't surprise me to see the Jaguars pull out a win here, so I'm excited I'm there.
Wouldn't make me mad either. It'd make the AFC South more interesting.
Yeah.
Whereas the AFC West feels very uninteresting already. It's Chiefs Kingdom.
It feels like that. All right, this is a good place for a break. We've got plenty more games to come up with, including our 2-minute no offense. So,
and it's a shocker.
That's right. There's a couple of games that we would love to just delve deep into, but we thought we'd be fair this week. For you, the listener, this is The Push-Off.
For most champions, West Division, playoffs bound and farther up the rivers. Tom is old now, older than the trees, bigger than the mountains, taller than Drew Brees. Pat Mahomes, take me home to the place we belong.
Okay, returning from the break, always means, well, in the regular season, that it's time for the 2 minute no offense.
Because no offense, but if you're in this area, it means you're one of the classiest organizations in the NFL.
Oh, the best.
It means if you find yourself here, my God, you're a perennial champion.
Just get ready for the Super Bowl now.
I'm sorry, we don't want to waste your time. You know, we know you're busy. We know you've got things to do. If you're in the 2 minute no offense, no offense, but I'm not offended if you don't talk to me.
I enjoyed one of these games immensely, but yes, we did put it in the 2 minute.
And I enjoyed the other one tremendously.
And we got a couple others in there too. They just were also kind of one-sided doldrums.
Fuck those other ones. But you ready?
Yes, let's go.
You and ready to go.
All right, we're going to start. Dolphins 6, Cowboys 31. We both took it.
This is crazy because the Dolphins actually, if it wasn't for a late turnover in the red zone and a missed field goal in the first quarter on the first drive, they would have been leading the Dallas Cowboys 16-10 going into the half.
But you guys, both running backs blew up big.
Over 100 yards, two running backs. We absolutely throttled the Dolphins in the second half. In the second half, you were able to see that these teams are a different species.
Yeah, you throttle the Dolphins, and then Jeff Heath throttles his old teammate, Alan Hearns. Jesus,
I know,
that's
fucking brutal. And Rosen looked okay.
Rosen looked okay, and the Dolphins are now outscored 133-16 through 3 weeks.
Christ.
All right, the next game, Raiders 14, Vikings 34.
How'd you feel? It
felt great. I'm not saying that all's forgiven for Kirk Cousins. He did throw a touchdown, but still under 200 yards passing. He just didn't make the stupid mistakes.
But this is the Vikings team you want to see.
Oh, and we got the best running back in football now. Fight me.
I won't fight you.
Dalvin Cook, 143 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown.
I think he's electric, and he's absolutely on pace to have a breakout year.
No bar, no problem. Their backup, Eric Wilson, gets 11 tackles and 2 sacks.
Yeah, things alcoholics don't say.
Yeah, there you go. And then I laughed, and I loved, and I cried when Dana Carlson doinked the upright on a 51-yard field goal.
Man, that's you and your ex-girlfriends / ex-kickers.
That's all it is. Brutal. All right, next one, Jets 14, Patriots 30. We both took this one.
Are we talking about this game?
Well, the only reason why the Jets got 2 touchdowns was a muffed punt that was returned to cover and then a backup quarterback throwing a pick 6.
Yeah, I think he was just smoking. He's like, oh, shit, I got to get out of here.
And if you guys took the Patriots, unfortunately, those touchdowns meant that you didn't,
they didn't cover the spread. It's so weird.
Jets team was just hapless in this one. It was 30-0 before anything.
10 seconds.
All right, the last one. Bears 31, Redskins 15. Monday Night Football. Ew.
Yeah, pretty ew. Trubisky actually looked good.
He threw 3 touchdowns, all to Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah, he looked. There we go. We owe this game a little bit of OT. This particular game for the Bears, the defense looked exactly like they needed to look. The Redskins team is just laughably bad. Mm-hmm. They were in games the first 2 weeks of the season. This team looks like they're kind of shutting it down. Not on purpose. It just means like everything's breaking down. Maybe their training staff really is shitty.
Maybe. Bears defense is incredible. 4 sacks in this one, 5 forced turnovers. Keenum had 3 interceptions and 2 fumbles in this. Ball's just flopping out of his hands.
Booger McFarland sounding like an absolute asshole. With anything but reverence for...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like...
He thinks he's on camera, you know, where he's an announcer. Yeah, he's trying to keep it even.
I don't need a hot take about Khalil Mack other than maybe he's as good as Lawrence Taylor. That's the only hot take I'll accept. Anything that's like, I don't know if Khalil Mack's as good as people say. Fuck off. He absolutely is.
Couple of fun stats in this now. The Redskins are 2-17 on Monday Night Football at FedEx Field.
Shutter the team. Yeah. Fold... Contract the Redskins.
So maybe it wasn't all Kirk's fault on primetime.
True.
And then also, the first 3 games, the Redskins defense has allowed a QB to complete over 70% of his passes. Yeah, that Redskins defense, we try to give them credit here, but they have not shown up this year. All right, leads us to talk about a couple games for next week. The Minnesota Vikings head to Chicago, play those Bears at Soldier Field.
Oddly enough, this is kind of like the game Jacksonville and Denver, where it's like, whoever gets up first,
yeah,
it's a game of keep away. I'm actually going to surprise you, and I'm going to take the Vikings. I do not trust Mitch Trubisky. Mm. You may not trust Kirk Cousins, but I so don't trust Mitch Trubisky, especially against this really good defense. If the Vikings are able to get any sort of scores early, and the Vikings are not going to try to pass, and the Bears are not incredible against the run. They're good, but they're demons against the pass.
Right.
As long as Kirk is just throwing the ball once every 5 plays, I think you guys will win it.
Yeah, so I feel like in this game, we will. Yeah, you're right. We're going to feed the ball to Cook, and we should definitely do that. I mean, even the backup, Alexander Mattison, is showing
really
up.
Really good. Yeah,
he runs it downhill very well. That's what we're going to want to do. But since we're on the road and we're on that field, spray-painted green, Soldier Field, I don't expect the running game to do it all for us like it has at the home games so far. So Kirk's going to have to throw the ball. Kirk's going to have to look good. Kirk on the road going to have to look good. Trubisky at home. It's going to be very interesting to see which quarterback looks good, if at all, either of them. Who knows?
This kind of feels like the season a little bit. It feels like a crux of a season. One of these teams is going to be like, one of these teams is going to be able to exhale after this game to a degree.
Because it's a big divisional matchup, yeah, and it is definitely going to come into play in this very competitive NFC North all of a sudden. I will never take the Vikings in Soldier Field. I'll take the Bears and just pray I'm wrong. Part of me is glad I'm in Mile High while this game's going on. Because it's real. It's just so hard to watch a frustrating game of Vikings at Bears. I think I've said this before on the podcast. It's like those nightmares you have where you're trying to run underwater or the whole world's just tilting at you and you're just trying to grab something to pull your body forward. You can't go anywhere. That's what watching a game feels like.
And that's just how Mitch Trubisky plays football. So
hey, yo.
Looking forward to it.
Also, the NFC East matchup of the Washington Redskins at the New York Giants.
Oof, man.
That's week
four. Do we have to do this?
We must. Daniel Jones.
I'm going to pick the Washington Redskins.
Are you?
I am. Might be a bit of a surprise, but I really do feel like this Giants defense is absolute butt. I don't feel like, even though they haven't showed up, I feel like there's more talent on the Redskins defense, especially that pass rush, especially the defensive line. They may be able to cause fits for Daniel Jones.
You're talking no Saquon Barkley, which is a huge loss for them, yeah. And then, so...
Willie Gallman going to tear you up? I don't fucking know. I don't think so.
And without the running game, without that balance there, I don't know if the hero ball is going to work too much for the Giants again. I did expect the Redskins to be the better team here and the Giants be the seller in the season, so I will take the Redskins too. But yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's probably a, you know, whoever loses this game, pack it up. You're done for the year.
Yeah, and also good for you. You're getting a really good draft pick.
Yeah, maybe it's better off that direction. Yeah. And then also worth saying, the New York Jets, who we talked about here, thank God they get a bye week now. They need it. Get healthy, please. We need Darnold back. We need somebody back because right now they can't field a true
Jets.
Football team.
Poor Jets.
They are because they had the money this time. They're like, we're going to make a run here. Why not?
They're trying.
Why not the Jets was what they said in the offseason. And then just everything's gone pear-shaped so far.
Yeah, it feels very, very much a snake bit season for them.
And that's unfortunate for Jets and Jets fans. Okay, Dan, let's talk about the rest of the games that we had in week three. Another good one. The Cincinnati Bengals come up short in Buffalo, 17-21. I took those Bills and they go 3-0.
Oh, God, the Bills just. I mean, they're beating up bad teams, but so are the Cowboys. But the Cowboys are beating up bad teams definitively.
You can say they're beating bad teams, but they're winning the games they should be winning.
They're 3-0.
This is only one game at home. This is their first one at home. So,
would you rather look fantastic in two games and shitty in one and win two and lose one? Or would you rather look kind of okay and win all three?
It's all about winning, baby.
It's all about the dub.
Just win, baby.
It's the only stat that matters is dubs.
And the Bills jumped out to a big lead here. They're up 14-0 until middle of the third quarter. And then Allen throws a bad pick that made it a game. Bengals scored 17 straight right after that and took the lead with 5 minutes left to go in this game. So it was a steady two sides of the half here.
Yeah, this looked like this might have been headed for the 2 minute no offense as well because the Bengals just couldn't do anything. This is almost the exact opposite of what happened to them against the Jets, where they started out strong and then the Jets kind of turned it back on. The only difference was they didn't run out of time.
Yeah.
And Allen was able to kind of force them back into a position where they could make a good push at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was enough. Tre'Davious White, two interceptions. He had the game-sealing interception
really good.
At the end.
Tre'Davious at LSU looked really good.
Yeah, he's been a strong corner since coming into the league. And when Bengals were driving down the field, and if you have a strong defense, that's what they do. They close out games, and they finally were able to do it here. So
Bills defense looks legitimately good.
Congrats to the Bills. You're 3-0. Does that continue when the New England Patriots come to town?
Nope.
Now, let's be honest with the New England Patriots, though. We put them in the 2 minute no offense all 3 weeks so far this season.
Because they've destroyed people.
And they haven't played anybody.
But they've destroyed people.
The Dolphins, the hapless Jets. What was their other game here? I can't even remember.
I think the Sisters of the Poor. I don't know. It's just.
I can't even remember who their other win is, but yeah, no, you're right. They're destroying everybody.
Oh, the Steelers.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah, they
week
played
one
the Steelers,
against the Steelers at home.
Who were obviously floundering.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what the page. So. To me, this is the Patriots' first test of the season. Crazy enough.
I guess. This is one of those, if you ever wanted to have a changing of the guard, Buffalo, this is the time.
Yeah.
You can split the season with, minimum, split the season with the New England Patriots. I don't think it's going to happen, but hell, give it a shot.
Hopefully Josh Allen, yeah, has had enough time now under center. Has he figured it out?
No, he hasn't.
Has the game slowed down yet for him?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, well, maybe not enough. No, I can't take the Bills here either. I'll take the Patriots.
It makes me feel dirty. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
As much as I don't enjoy the Bills and I don't enjoy Sean McFuck's face, Josh Allen hasn't done anything to make me hate him this year. He's still inaccurate. Still. Like, you can still see it in the games. Some of those fundamental problems are still showing up, but then also some of that like world-beating arm talent and plus athleticism is starting to show up too. So
yeah.
If he can start putting better reads together and more consistent games, Josh Allen may have to retract some of my statements.
He converted like a 3rd and 15 in that game that looked like one of those Wyoming plays.
Oh,
The pocket broke down, rolled out to the right, ran out of field, chuck it deep. There's a guy open.
He's one of those guys that I think will do his best on a team that is like rebuilding. Once that team is like built, you're going to be like, Josh Allen's fucking
You're
going to
start
up.
Seeing the holes. Yeah.
But while this team is like coming back up, you're like, oh, this guy could be something.
It's the Buffalo Bills. So got to get excited with what you got. Let's talk about the game in Seattle. The New Orleans Saints come in and win 33-27 without Drew Brees. We did not expect this to happen, but.
No Drew, no problem, it seemed.
It seemed
kind of crazy.
Way. Bridgewater had 2 touchdowns, but mostly it was an Alvin Kamara game. You get the ball to your hot guy, 161 total yards from scrimmage and 2 touchdowns.
You said, come at me about the Dalvin Cook thing. I will come at you about the Dalvin Cook thing, but not for Zeke.
Yeah.
I will do it for Kamara.
You think so?
Kamara just looked rare out there, man. He just looked like a different fucking guy.
The play down deep in their end when they swing it out to Kamara and there's a bunch of blockers there and you're like, okay, go down. Oh, he's out. He's tiptoeing down the sidelines for another 15 yards. You're right. It seems like only him. Now, I think Dalvin can do it too, but we'll soon see.
Sure.
But this was exciting, yeah. In a game that led to the first home loss for the Seattle Seahawks under Pete Carroll in September.
Ever.
It's nuts. But maybe it was because he took the Jan Brady football to the nose to start the game.
I'm the new Jan Brady.
Poor guy. Stitches on his nose here throughout the game, whatever. But the Saints came in with a game plan. They said, we're not going to put everything on Teddy's shoulders. He's going to be a game manager. He's going to get the ball out quick so this pass rush of Seattle can't get to him. And they really didn't.
No, they didn't figure it out. And even with Jadeveon Clowney sitting back there, Clowney has not impressed me in his new defensive end position for them.
No. In fact, they made a comment, too, that since he's left Seattle, Whitney Mercilus, who is the name, the football name that my girlfriend is most excited about. She likes Whitney Mercilus.
It's great.
It's a great name. He moved back to his normal position there in the outside linebacker and is blown up.
Yeah, he's been tearing it up.
So maybe no worse for Houston there. Yeah, so the Seahawks now... This is a big loss. This is something that kind of brings things down to home here. And the score, 33-27, I think it's closer than the game was.
Yeah,
There
was some garbage stuff near the end, especially with Russell Wilson just kind of throwing it all over as best he could.
Right.
I watched this game, and all I could think was, well, you blew your chance at home field advantage, or you blew your chance at a first-round bye. That's how this game felt. Felt like this is a Saints team that's reeling, doesn't have Drew Brees. This is the time where you get a win against the Saints easy.
Yeah.
You got to do it, and they didn't figure it out.
So speaking of getting a win against the Saints, Dan, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys come to the Superdome. That place gets loud.
I had this penciled in as a loss at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
I no longer do.
Well, no Drew Brees.
No Drew Brees. That is a big, big issue.
So we thought.
I think the Dallas Cowboys are fast enough. The Dallas Cowboys, I know the linebacker situation in Seattle is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only linebacker core that might be better than Seattle's or better than Bobby Wagner, Give me Jalen. Give me Leighton. Give me Sean Lee.
Those are names, and I know those names. I'm waiting for them to really blow it up this season. I don't know who who they played yet, and so, et cetera. Now they really got to chase down the upper echelon.
And this was a Saints team, to your point, came in with a game plan. This is a team that was scripted, tight, rehearsed, practiced, knew how to attack the Seattle Seahawks. The Cowboys have not started out fast.
Mm.
The Cowboys are going to need to hold on for the first quarter, mm-hmm. I think. But then once that happens, I really do believe in their ability to make adjustments, make changes, and really put the gas in the second half and make the difference.
There was no surprise in my heart you were going to take these Cowboys.
No, I don't think you're shocked.
I think the only game you and me had different is my Vikings one, where you have taken
my
Vikings.
I have faith in your Vikings, yes.
I'm going to show you not the reciprocate. I don't have faith in Cowboys in the Superdome. I'm going to take the Saints without Drew Brees. Pull out a win here.
May you be wrong twice, friend.
Yeah, who knows?
May you be wrong twice.
All right. Let's move on to the Texans beating the Chargers in L.A. 27-20. Dan, you took this one, right?
Deshaun Watson,
the Chargers.
Man. Yep. Yeah, this Chargers team, this is a team that I picked to potentially win the AFC West, and I just keep getting disappointed. Melvin Gordon being out is huge. Derwin James being out is huge, and you can feel the difference in this team on a week-to-week basis. This is a team that with those players on the field, I think, could have beat this Texans team.
Yeah, even with a Watson early pass that just went backwards into the ground that allowed the Chargers to go up there and jump up to an early lead, wasn't enough. He threw for 351 yards and three touchdowns in this game.
So good.
There's a lot of weapons on that Texans
Mitch
team.
Mitch Trubisky was picked third in that draft ahead of Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. Yeah. Never forget it, Bears fans.
This is a very exciting team to watch. I always like watching Texans games. I like watching Chargers games, so this was a fun game. It went all the way to the end. Rivers, 318 yards, two touchdowns, both to Keenan Allen, who is his weapon. Back and forth game that the Chargers tried to make that comeback and couldn't get it. Something that I feel like I see every week is Phillip Rivers desperately trying to lead his team back to the win at the end.
Just kind of hobbling to the right on that last throw. And then by the time the ball is batted down, you go back to the camera and Phillip already has his helmet off.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, you know what this is.
He's
like,
an old man just trying to get through it.
Yeah, he's just like, get this fucking helmet off me. Let's get me out of here.
poor Phillip Rivers has put in so much effort for this Chargers team his whole career. And
but they won't
they're
pay,
running out of time.
They won't pay a good running back. Like, right. Pay the fucking running back. The guy needs a running back.
Yeah. Instead, this is the Chargers that have put up there. So.
Fuck it. It's the Chargers. Who cares?
And they got a big test this weekend as they go to Miami and play the Dolphins.
This is a good place to get healthy, Chargers. Yeah, that's right. If you lose this game, pack it in.
The Dolphins.
Oh, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, Josh Rosen.
Is going to get hurt. Because that Dolphins, and we didn't talk about the Cowboys, and I don't want to get into this too much. Josh Rosen looked the best when he was taking three-step drops and throwing it on the third step, because otherwise that offensive line was going to collapse it upon itself like a dying star.
Yeah.
You started to see that once the Cowboys had a lead and they had to throw it more. It's like, I'm going to do a five-step drop, and someone had me on my fourth step.
Mm-hmm.
This Chargers defense is going to hurt him, and I'm worried.
They should be in the backfield all game long. I feel like they have kind of, I mean, I haven't seen Bosa a lot this season.
Still Joey Bosa?
Yeah, but he is still Joey Bosa, and yeah, in Miami, should have no problem. Dolphins don't care. I'll take the Chargers here too. Very interested to see how this keeps going this season, as it seems like the Dolphins are not really trying. Does anyone, you know, do you just start closing down the line and go like, we're not going to take bets on Dolphins games anymore?
Yeah,
because
we don't know. It could get
the
real
house is the house is running out of money. Yeah. What can we do? I'll take the Chargers here too. Let's talk about the Camless Panthers saying no Cam, no problem in Arizona. They take care of the Cardinals 38-20. I thought Cam not being there would be enough for the Cardinals to take a win here. I was incorrect, Dan. You had them.
Cardinals are bad, yo.
Kyle Allen.
Shocking, it wasn't Will Greer.
It wasn't Will Greer. It was the guy that they had last year as a rookie who looked pretty good the last, like, week 17 when they were finally ready to just sit Cam. He threw four touchdowns in this game.
It's weird. If you felt this strong about Kyle Allen, I don't know why they took Will Greer in the third round. That's
very
the strange thing for
yeah.
me. It's like now Will Greer starts to feel like, is he not getting it? Is he not picking it up? We know my feelings on Will Greer before the scouting, where I was like, this guy every once in a while looks real stupid.
Mm.
Kyle Allen looked great in this game. Obviously, he's throwing against an Arizona defense that gives zero total shits per capita, but he looked good. He looked sharp and gets the Carolina Panthers to not be 0-3, which would have been absolutely a game ender. The rest of that NFC South is in to the exact opposite of the NFC North. Nobody in the NFC South is running away with it. Right. Everybody is kind of beat up, kind of rough. Anybody could take this game still. If Kyle Allen can get this team to be 500 while we're waiting for Cam to heal from what seems like a Lisfranc injury, which is bad.
Yeah, if that's what it is, yeah.
If he can get back in time and nobody else in the division gets it done, why not?
He's trying to put off surgery, so when you hear that stuff, it really lands on Kyle Allen of like, well, if you play good and good enough, you might see Cam later in the year if the game still means something.
Mm-hmm.
If you start dropping a couple here, well, then Cam's going to get a surgery, and we're just going to call it a day.
And if you really start playing well, maybe Cam doesn't come back at all.
Oof. That would be very surprising.
That would be an absolute... You'd have to go undefeated through seven games.
Yeah, yeah, probably that. He got some help in this one. It wasn't all Kyle Allen. It was a game that was 7-10 Cardinals with seconds left in the first half. He hits DJ Moore, who just runs through everybody to the end zone, and then all of a sudden it's 14-10. Four lead changes in this game. It was 21-20 Panthers late in the third. So the game score, end score of 38-20 is not a representation of how close this game was at times.
It was. Christian McCaffrey is just fantastic.
188 total yards from scrimmage himself and a touchdown. Greg Olsen showed up 2 touchdowns.
Greg Olsen
here.
Always seems to show up. I hope he can coach Cam Newton through this foot injury.
Right.
But yeah, this Panthers team didn't look fantastic, but God, this Cardinals team's look butt.
And when you're Kyler Murray and you think you can outrun everybody, after a while, that attrition catches up with you. The Panthers had 8 sacks in this game. Mario Addison had 3 himself. And then finally, 2 interceptions late by Dante Jackson, who we've talked about plenty.
It's true.
In this
I know
game.
You like him.
The thing I keep coming back to is, yeah, I mean, I watched it, and we talked about the all or nothing where everyone's getting on his back.
Watch film.
Yeah, and he's not paying any attention. But, look, if my cornerback doesn't watch film but keeps getting as many interceptions as Dante Jackson has in his short career, I might take that trade-off.
Athletically gifted.
Yeah.
Think about what he could do if he actually watched film.
Very good point, though. Yeah, you got to stay on him because it's like, boy, you could be something great.
The potential for Dante Jackson, because we talked about that the same year that Denzel Ward came out and Dante Jackson came out. I was like, they kind of play the same way, but Denzel Ward doesn't get fooled. Dante Jackson gets fooled.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Dante Jackson can get to the point where he's not getting fooled, then he's Denzel Ward-level ability. Abso-fucking-lutely, I'll take that guy. But I just haven't seen it from him yet. There's raw talent, raw athletic ability. Put it together in the head.
So, does Kyle Allen and these Panthers keep it rolling in Houston against the Texans this week?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Shouldn't have phrased it in that way. Yeah.
Sorry, no. Sometimes my pacing is off.
I'm taking Texans in this one, too. The Panthers, great. You took care of the Cardinals. You should have. You're a better team all around than them, even without Cam.
But good for them realizing that, hey, if we kind of underperform in this game, we close it up. Close up shop on the year. You don't come back from 0-3 in that division.
Mm-mm.
You just don't do it. Even though you're not that far behind, it just feels harder than it is. This is a team that I hope composes themselves well against the Texans, but I really don't think they'll win it.
Yeah. No, they started 0-2 with 2 home losses. That's the biggest thing.
Brutal.
So this was a big win. They needed it. They need to show up in the Houston game, but yeah, I like Houston that one too. How about the NFC West matchup of the Seattle Seahawks going to Arizona to play these Cardinals?
It's got to be the Seahawks. I know the Seahawks got embarrassed a little bit, but I got a weird feeling, the same feeling I got at Jacksonville, where I thought Jacksonville was going to cause a problem for them. But I really just can't imagine Seattle losing this game.
No. Yeah, I am agreeing with you. Seattle on the road is not that hapless anyways. They play good defense. You can still run the ball. I think you just need to play smart here. The Cardinals may surprise them, may keep it close. That's the weird thing about the Cardinals right now. It's like, sometimes they're surprising,
yeah.
But they lack the talent and they lack the ability to put all this together.
It's like the second half of the Dolphins game where you go, you just don't have enough juice in the tank. There's just not enough guys you can squeeze for it.
Rookie quarterback, rookie head coach, it takes a little bit to get these things going. So the teams that's tried and tested true, I mean, Carroll and Wilson have been together for how long now already? Yeah, you got to give it to the Seahawks in
you
that
have
one.
To.
All right, let's move on to another NFC South team with a loss, the Falcons 24, Colts 27. We both took the Colts.
We did. The Colts needed this game. The Falcons needed it more, though.
Yeah, unfortunately. The Falcons' offense, they seem to show up there. Ryan, 304 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had that bad interception, though. And then Julio Jones, 128 yards and touchdown. Even Hooper had 2 touchdowns, but it's not enough. The Colts keep showing up and keep being a team, at least.
This defense did not get worse by Andrew Luck retiring.
Yeah, no.
We got to remember that. That defense is still fucking legit. And this is still an offense that can score 24 to 30 points a game with Jacoby Brissett. Aren't you glad you paid Jacoby Brissett? Aren't you glad you traded for that fucking guy?
Yeah,
he looks
Brissett
really good.
Had 310 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game. He started the game 16 for 16 with no incompletions for 16 dropbacks.
He's exactly what the Colts needed to keep the faith this year, to keep the fan base from like rioting and, you know, want to, what is it, tank for Tua?
Right.
What are we calling it now?
But this
jerk
was,
off for Jake. I don't know what it is.
It was a 20-3 Colts lead in this game until Ryan finally got hot and turned it on.
But that's Matt Ryan now. Like, I keep being reminded that Matt Ryan was an MVP.
Right.
Like, doesn't that seem weird to you now?
He's got plenty of weapons. They didn't take anything away from him. They've trying to build up his offensive line. I mean, the Falcons are doing everything possible to keep their offense at all cylinders. And when they don't show up for a part of the game like this, then it's really hard to keep winning. And they're not.
Yeah.
This was a bad game for safety, staying healthy. Keanu Neal, Achilles injury. He's out for the season. And on the other side of the ball, Malik Hooker is out 4 to 6 weeks with a torn meniscus.
I'm going to read you the last 10 NFL MVPs.
Okay.
Okay. Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
Cam Newton.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers. Peyton Manning. Adrian Peterson. Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady. Peyton Manning. One of these things does not belong here.
Talking about Aaron Donald, the defense?
No, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
So Aaron Donald, I wish, had won an MVP.
Oh.
Matt Ryan and Cam Newton kind of stick out like a sore thumb here. Guys that like, oh, I had one great year, but now I've returned to mediocrity. Every one of those other guys is an absolute surefire Hall of Famer. Even Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to say it. Patrick Mahomes feels like a Hall of Famer to me right now. In a way that Cam never did, in a way that Matt Ryan never did. That's the fucking thing that they've got to carry around with them is Cam Newton. Can you ever get back to the promised land? Matt Ryan, can you ever get back to the promised land? I feel like the answer is no.
Well, we'll see. I mean, those guys put up amazing years.
I'm not saying they didn't deserve it in the year they were in.
Right.
It's just one of those odd things. Like, Derrick Rose is the only NBA MVP that's probably not going to be in the Hall of Fame. Every other one of them either is headed to the Hall of Fame or is in it already. He's the only one that won't be.
And yeah, I know you're giving Mahomes it right now, and in the first 3 games in this one, it's hard to look at it otherwise, but it is just 3 games. So we'll see if how he keeps it going. But yeah. No, he looks great. Okay, then let's move on then. Let's talk about the Raiders are playing at the Colts here week 3. We're going Colts.
You have to go Colts, man. You have to.
From what I saw, the Raiders in that Vikings game, they lack the weapons quite a bit. Darren Waller kicked our ass.
Yeah,
that tight
great.
End is everywhere. Carr, though, not very accurate, and I think he's playing on borrowed time now.
I think he is, especially with those Raiders being in the position that they're in. You're like, you're not going to challenge in the West. You and the Broncos know you're out of it. It's really just the Chargers and the Chiefs, and the Chargers are trying to throw it away with both hands.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like this Raiders team is – they feel like an also-ran.
They're getting ready for the trip to Vegas, and once they're there, then they're going to be like, no, we're all serious.
Yeah.
And I don't think Carr makes that trip with them.
I don't think so either. I think he hits a U-Haul somewhere else.
Yeah. But, we're going to take Colts in this one. I agree with you. How about the Titans going to Atlanta play those Falcons?
This is an interesting matchup.
Yes, it is.
And game that both of these teams need desperately. I'm going to give it to the Tennessee Titans because I trust their defense more.
Okay. I like that pick. But I will go against you. I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Got to split it up.
A little bit, yeah. Plus, I like how the Falcons looked in their only other home game, which was against the Eagles, the one they won. Their offense can put up the points. And the Titans, even without Keanu Neal, I'm not too worried about their passing attack. So as long as the Titans or the Falcons can somehow stop the run, which they might get bullied. That's my one worry in that game, is they have the speed on defense, but not so much the power.
Yeah, I feel like Derrick Henry is going to feast on them.
If the Titans get up ahead, the Titans should take care of business. If the Falcons get up ahead, good luck catching them, Titans.
Fair
enough.
That's
what I'm thinking. So I'll take Falcons at home. All right, let's talk about the last game of the week from week three. The Steelers lose to the 49ers 20-24. We both picked this one, even though it did not seem like the Niners wanted to win this.
Great game, though. It actually was a lot of fun.
It was back and forth, and it did go down to the end. Yeah, it was
Mason
a lot of fun.
Rudolph just throwing some deep arcing balls.
He had two touchdowns. He has one pick, and the guy's got an arm.
Yeah, he's got an arm. It's funny because I don't feel like he's got a ton of like power in the arm. But God, that deep ball is really good. That's just all he did at Oklahoma State was just James Washington. And it felt like a return to that. The San Francisco 49ers team, I know they're undefeated.
Right. First time since 1998.
Good God.
3-0.
Really? I'm just not impressed. I continue to be not impressed by the San Francisco 49ers. I know they were really good going up into this game, but this is not a great Steelers team, and you had them at home.
The way I think of the Niners so far is, and I think I said it last episode, they pulled away in both of their first two games. Their game was close, and then they just started putting more points on the board than the other team. They pulled away. In this one, they turned the ball over 5 times.
Can't do it.
Now, the Steelers turned around and turned the ball over for them twice, and that helped out. But even with 5 turnovers, they were able to put up 24 points and hold the Steelers down enough to win this game. To me, that speaks volumes of, like, if the Niners can figure out how not to shoot themselves in the foot or could figure out the defenses they're playing a little bit quicker, they should be one of the best teams in the NFC. I don't think they are, even though 3-0, I picked them, like, you're probably a bubble playoff team, wild card team. Maybe you make a race in that division, but, you know, Seahawks, Rams, there's other
it's
people
tough.
There.
It's
yeah, it's going to make it tough, so I don't know how good the Niners are going to be. I don't expect them to make a run for the playoffs here or for Super Bowl here, even at 3-0. But I'm awake on them now. I'm awake on them, okay. And I said Garoppolo, show me some, and I think he's starting to.
Yeah,
he had a touchdown. He had 2 picks in this one though. Jeffrey Wilson, who I don't know, huh? The running back Jeffrey Wilson had 2 touchdowns in this one too. All right,
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah,
Mason Rudolph is playing for the franchise right now.
That's right. It's right there in front of him.
If Mason Rudolph has a good stretch of games here. Say he wins 5-6 games this year, total.
Mm-hmm.
Total. They go 5-11 or 6-10. I feel like they don't change quarterbacks. I feel like they tell Big Ben to take a walk.
Yeah.
I feel like Mason Rudolph becomes the next guy that they're waiting for the next guy.
Remember, it was Tommy Maddox, and he goes down. And then they go, okay, we've got this young quarterback. We can see how he is. And that was Big Ben Roethlisberger at the time.
Well, to me, it feels like almost the opposite, where they're like, well, our franchise went down. Let's bring in Tommy Maddox so we can have 2 years of, like, doing all right and then get our franchise guy in.
Okay. So even if he does take this over, you don't expect him to be around for 6 years?
I mean, he'll have
to put years.
I don't think he's a 6-year Steeler quarterback. I feel like the Steelers finally have the answer to, like, who's your transition plan at quarterback?
Okay.
Not who's your next Steelers
franchise.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
It's who's your transition plan. Mason Rudolph has a chance to be that guy. And we know how much money backups can make in the NFL.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph can make himself a pretty penny.
This is a stat I don't think I said yet. There was 7 new starting quarterbacks in week 3 that did not start week 2.
And an amazing stat I heard, there were 20 starters this week in the NFL that were 26 or under.
20 QB starters.
20 QB starters. Yeah, my apologies.
26 and under.
26 and under. 20. The vast majority of the league. Vast majority of the league.
So as we sit down and watch these games, and it's going to be a lot of the same quarterbacks this week. I don't see a lot of switching back. Yeah, this is the youth movement.
Yeah.
Remember that year when Rivers and Manning and Roethlisberger came into the league, and you had Rodgers that was brand new there. Brady wasn't that old yet. This is the new group.
This is it.
We're watching them now. It was all the 5 guys in the first round last year. The guys here, the 3 guys that we named with Mahomes and Trubisky and
yeah.
Watson 2 years before. We've seen it. We've moved on now to the next phase, and that's
and
exciting.
The, you know, the old man of that group, Dak Prescott. Let's not sleep on him.
We can't. We need to talk about the last game here, Monday Night Football. Cincinnati Bengals go to Pittsburgh. Play those Rudolph-led Steelers.
God, the Bengals have to win one eventually, don't they? They have to do something.
You gonna take this one here in Pittsburgh?
No. I'm gonna give Mason Rudolph the benefit of the doubt. I thought he played okay against the Niners. I am gonna pick the Steelers here at home.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. But I think Heinz Field is a bugaboo for Cincinnati. Yeah, and the Bengals, yeah, are 0-3. They might be the best winless team right now.
I think
in the
they
league.
Are. Yeah,
that's one that comes to mind for me too. But I'll say they go 0-4, and
poor Bengals,
and it really starts piling up on them. And then finally, the 49ers are the other team on the bye week here for week four. So Jets, 49ers, enjoy the week off. Jets, 49ers fans, please come back and listen. There's going to be other games yeah. and stuff to talk about here.
0-3 and 3-0. You'll have very different weekends.
So clean up the picks real quick. Dan, you and me split down the middle. So I now have 29 correct for the week. You have 27. My mom has 31. See, me and her actually split two with you. She took the Jaguars in that first mm-hmm. one, but then I think took a different team. I forget which other one I got right over. But she's got 31 now, so she still has that lead.
We're all in the mix.
Yeah, everyone is real close right now after three, so it's something to look out
None
for.
None of us are the Bengals.
All right, everybody, but thanks so much for joining us for another push-off show. The Ovens got woken up here. They're finally catching back up with all the excitement that the push-off pushes out there every week.
Oh, they've been watching it. They're like, we got to get tuned up. These defenses are getting too much pub.
Yeah, so now we're talking about you guys too. But we like talking about everything that happens in the NFL each and every week. So come and check us out every Wednesday where you got this one. Link, rate, and subscribe. Tell all your friends to listen. If you got interesting takes, or you say that, you know, Dan was completely wrong about that shit he said about XYZ.
What? What?
Let us know. Put it in the comments section and everywhere else that you can. We want to hear from you. And check out all the other podcasts that are at Universe Head. We are part of Universe Head Family Network. All of our friends do podcasts on there, and they're really good. They're very talented people. So check it out. All right, Dan, I'm going to wrap it up with some crazy stats.
Please.
All right. Crazy stat number one, the Bills are 3-0.
Ugh, that is a crazy stat.
The Dolphins are 0-3. The last time either of these has happened is 2011. And that year, both of those teams finished 6-10.
Feels very possible again.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Though I don't know where the Dolphins are going to find six wins.
Yeah, neither do I.
And then finally, there are four teams now that have already scored 97 or more points. Any guess on any of them?
Cowboys.
Cowboys are one of them.
Obviously, the fucking Chiefs.
So this is who they are. The Chiefs and everyone that's played the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Patriots, and the Ravens. Lord. All right, that's our show. Dan, you got any parting words?
Feel better, EO. And also, guys, quarterly reports are coming up here. Mm. Week four, all you got to do is just multiply that shit by four. That's your record at the end of the year. Are you going to feel good or are you going to feel bad? We'll find out this week.
Oh, I don't want to be 50-50. All right, that's it. Thank you guys so much for joining us another episode of the Push Off Podcast. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
And we love having you around every week, so come back next week for the push-off. Goodbye.